I'm Brad Hillwig, and this is Normalish, a podcast about the ways in which all of us are adapting our lives in real time to the COVID-19 global pandemic. Just a couple of quick notes off the top. This is the fifth episode of Normalish. If it's the first time you're listening to this podcast, you can get caught up by going back and starting with the very first episode called What Happens Next. Also, a quick warning. There is one instance of some bad language in this episode, and I won't lie. It comes from me. So, apologies in advance. In the movies, it seems like it always happens the same way. A mom in the throes of labor. A doctor barking out orders.
One more big push.
The room full of people. And a shocked dad standing by, watching in utter disbelief. And then a screaming infant thrust into the arms of exhausted, delirious parents. Finally, cut to a moment of triumph as dad bursts through the waiting room door and into the arms of adoring friends and family.
Gentlemen, the girl! Yeah!
At 37 weeks pregnant, counting down the days until the birth of our first child, one thing is very clear to Victoria and me. At a time of social distancing, travel restrictions, and strict hospital protocols, in so many ways, this will not be that. At the time of this recording, on May 2nd, it appears confirmed cases of COVID-19 in our home state of Alaska have flattened for the time being. Some businesses are reopening, and there are encouraging signs that social distancing helped prevent the virus from spreading further. Still, no one knows what's in store for the next several months. For us, looking through the lens of imminent childbirth, the phrase that seems to make a lot of sense right now is abundance of caution. And lately, that means spending a lot of time at home together.
It's April 28th, and 2 days we'll be 37 weeks pregnant. So I decided to take on the biggest challenge of the entire podcast and interview Victoria. First question, at what precise moment did you realize you were madly in love with me?
You're funny.
Maybe all it took was a global pandemic to share a deeply personal story about a vulnerable and uncertain time in our life. But here we are, and here it is. And I should say, we're in the middle of this. We truly don't know what happens next, and the range of possibilities are more than a little intimidating.
You're having your first baby during a global pandemic, so of course the anxiety level is going to be a bit higher.
This is Michelle Wagner, our instructor in a 2-week childbirth class through the Parenting with Providence program.
Babies can be born in this position as long as your doctor is comfortable with it and moms find it to be very, very natural.
Due to COVID-19 restrictions, the classes were conducted virtually rather than in person.
You'll be so unbelievably proud of her.
Michelle walked the small class of couples through the entire process of childbirth.
You work together. You are that solid ground for her when she
still, for first-timers like us, it feels like a dizzying array of options, possibilities, and what-ifs, all against the backdrop of a ticking clock. After each class, we had a lot to talk about.
I will be honest with you.
You just have to know it's coming.
Will probably be my most tense and anxiety-ridden point is when that happens.
Yeah.
So, fair warning, when that fight or flight happens, it will be, I want to go home.
I know, but you have to breathe.
You are the coach.
I got this.
You're the coach.
And with the public health crisis adding yet another layer of uncertainty, it seemed like a little extra perspective couldn't hurt. So I called Michelle.
My background and my passion is the family unit. However that looks for each person, I really feel like that's the cornerstone to our communities. So any way that Parenting with Providence or Providence Alaska Medical Center or myself can assist and empower you guys, I will fully support and help you along that path. This global pandemic, we're all walking it together, literally is uncharted territory.
Right now, That uncharted territory means added protocols at Providence Hospital in Anchorage, including COVID-19 screenings at all entrances, mandatory use of face coverings, and a rule currently in place that only one support person can join a mom for labor and delivery. Friends and family setting up shop in the waiting room? Not a chance.
Everything they're doing policy-wise is to protect and keep our healthy patients healthy, and especially protecting our little ones. And so with these policies, we like to use the word fluid. I think it's actually really appropriate, whether it be pandemic or not. Man, changing your family unit is a lot, and it's wonderful. It can also be overwhelming and stressful all at the same time.
In other words, COVID-19 aside, don't lose sight of the fact that bringing a human being into the world is a seismic change of its own.
You're going to have a baby. That's going to happen. The policies and procedures that will be placed upon you guys, you know, a lot of it's unknown because we are in unprecedented times. But I promise the relationship between you and your partner is going to change. You know, it doesn't matter if I have 5 couples in my childbirth class or 10 couples. Not a single one will have the exact same experience. Your experience is different, and it doesn't have anything to do with how you prepared for it. It's just kind of that miracle of birth, and we can give you all the education you need, and so you can sort of prepare physically for what's going to happen, but there's no way to prepare for emotionally what's going to happen.
And that thought right there, preparing emotionally for the miracle of childbirth, that's something we've been doing for a long time. And that means there's another part of this story you need to know. In September of 2019, I came through the front door of our townhouse and found Victoria standing there, awkwardly looking back at me. Without a word, she handed me a small blue gift bag. I looked inside and found a white plastic stick. It read, "Pregnant." There was silence. And then I said, "Oh, shit."
I don't know, something came over me that evening when I got home and I took a test. It came out positive, which I totally was in denial. So I went out and bought another pregnancy test, a different brand. And that one came back positive, too. Yeah, and that was the evening I pretty much gave them to you when you first walked in the door after work.
Thus triggering the oh shit and a flood of complicated thoughts and feelings for both of us, all of which traced back to the fall of 2015, or more precisely, October 4th, 2015. Victoria and I had traveled to Fairbanks to celebrate a friend's 40th birthday. We had just found out we were 6 or 7 weeks pregnant. We were excited, nervous.
We weren't going to tell people until I, you know, got some things confirmed with doctors. I think I went to bed early that evening because I wasn't feeling well.
When we woke up on the morning of October 4th, it was clear something wasn't right.
Didn't really know what was really happening, but I knew that wasn't a good sign. We were getting ready to go back to the airport because we were coming home back to Anchorage. And, you know, we were just filled with anxiety and was very quiet and not quite sure what to think about what was happening.
Back home that afternoon, I decided to busy myself with a shower repair in an upstairs bathroom. And that's when I managed to place a screw perfectly into the center of a copper pipe, triggering a spray of water that was now soaking into the walls of our house. After a long day, it was an emergency that just seemed like a bad omen.
And then pretty much the doctor's appointment confirmed what I had feared. And yeah, that was that in 2 days.
Doctors told us they weren't seeing what they should be on the ultrasound. After a string of appointments, it was confirmed. There was no heartbeat in the tiny embryo. It was a miscarriage. It's an ugly word, miscarriage, a dissonant clash of consonants and vowels. It's the ultimate deception, giving you the greatest secret in the world and then never letting you share it with anyone. Some statistics show that 1 in 3 confirmed pregnancies end in miscarriage. In their wake, these losses leave isolation, a hollow sense of shame, and the burden of questions that simply don't have answers. Still, our first thought? When can we try again? And it turns out, in early 2016, just months after our miscarriage, we were once again pregnant.
I pretty much knew I was pregnant, and it was about 4 weeks. I was about 4 weeks in, just because of the symptoms I was having.
It was the dead of winter in Alaska, and we were still healing from the recent loss. This news gave us hope. But almost from the start, Victoria said something didn't feel right.
But then I thought it was strange that I wasn't having morning sickness. I was living on, like, strings of hope and, you know, just praying.
Weeks into this pregnancy, our doctors introduced us to a new vocabulary word. That word, ectopic.
I knew what that was because I had read it in a pregnancy book. And it was, it's a very rare condition.
It means in an abnormal place or position. In this context, it refers to a pregnancy that grows outside of a woman's uterus, usually inside one of the two fallopian tubes. This complication, doctors told us, meant a full-term pregnancy was impossible. Even worse, if the embryo continued to grow, it could be dangerous, even fatal, for Victoria. We had no choice. 2 days before Valentine's Day in 2016, Victoria had surgery to remove the ectopic pregnancy. Doctors would tell us that there was nothing we could have done to prevent this, but two losses in 5 months seemed like much more than bad luck. It made us think, maybe this just wasn't meant to be.
It got to the point where it was like, I don't know if I could do this again.
This is where I'm supposed to tell you how we strengthened our resolve in the face of adversity. And some of that is true. But the reality is this. The 3 years after our two losses were incredibly difficult, full of ups and downs that seemed like a blur right up until that moment, back in our entryway in September of 2016, standing there holding another positive pregnancy test.
I had to let go. I had to let go of all the what could happen, you know, all the questions that arose then, and just let life be.
So, yeah, that was a pretty loaded oh shit response for both of us. Mostly driven by the knowledge that once new life begins and these tiny little cells start dividing, you're not in control. You're in fact just a passenger. And where that trip leads is anyone's guess. This time, just days later, back in the same doctor's office with the same doctors, we could barely bring ourselves to look at the ultrasound screen. And once again, the doctor wasn't seeing what she expected. Before we jumped to conclusions, she said, let's wait a week. And that's exactly what we did. Waited an excruciatingly long 6 days before returning, prepared for the worst.
She pretty much did an ultrasound, and she found a heartbeat. And we heard the heartbeat, and I was in complete shock.
That was October 3rd, 2019, almost 4 years to the day after our first heartbreak. And that tiny pulse we were seeing on the screen, that was the start of a new journey.
See that heart beating? Great.
One that's included joyful appointments with doctors just as relieved and thrilled as we are.
7 weeks in one day, which is right where we want to be. Yeah, that's the umbilical cord. See it pulsating?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
So, yeah, but look at that face. Wow. You can see the profile. It's so cute.
That's so unbelievable.
Isn't it?
And an elaborate gender reveal on Christmas Day. There are more than 130 million babies born worldwide each year, more than 360,000 per day, an average of 250 per minute. The sequence of biological events that lead to the formation of a human being are almost unfathomable.
And then later this week, blood vessels will also develop in our baby's lungs, bringing them one step closer to full maturity and one step closer to taking that first breath of fresh air.
When that process has been less than smooth, every detail is a big deal.
Our baby's nose is starting to work.
Just so happens that our story and the long-awaited arrival of our baby girl coincides with something no one was planning for, a global pandemic.
I And I think me and the doctor already talked about, you know, rather than having a plan during this pandemic period, and it's your first child, and, you know, there's just a lot. There's just a lot to take in. I was happy to hear her say, just have an open mind. I do think having an open mind kind of puts me at ease a little bit, but it also welcomes a lot of questions, too.
With just weeks to go until the arrival of our baby girl, preparation is in full swing, adjusting as we go to changes brought on by COVID-19.
We're telling families at this point to bring everything with you when you show up. I would have never said that a year ago. I would say leave it in your car. You don't need the car seat when you check into OB triage because your hands will be full. Now we're saying bring it all in with you because it's possible if your partner leaves, they might not be able to get back in. And so again, it's just that advocating for families, trying to do everything desperately to keep them together.
Another thing to consider, no outside support after baby is born. With the risk of COVID-19, family won't be traveling from out of state to help out. And with a newborn at home, we'll have to be extremely cautious with visitors.
I think that's when you really, as a couple, you have to pull together and work as a team and try to figure out, you know, who gets to sleep when and who does diapering when. And, you know, you're feeding, if you're a breastfeeding mom, man, you need food literally delivered to your hand, not just to your house, but to your hand. And, you know, as a partner, Brad, I think that you and Victoria are going to do a great job together. But, man, figuring out how best to support one another during that time, I think it's going to be vital. Not only are you guys both going to be exhausted, she will be postpartum. Physically, you have the anxiety of, you know, do we even go out for groceries? Do we have food delivered? You know, how then, on top of the normal anxieties of having a newborn, are they getting enough to eat? Are they sleeping enough? Are they healthy? Are they safe? How will we afford this? Am I still working? All of those normal anxieties that we have without pandemic, let's layer a whole level of anxiety and realistic fear of what we can't see, which is the virus. And then again, how do I protect my baby? How do I protect my wife? How do I protect myself? These are things that as a community and as a childbirth class and as a couple, the two of you, need to communicate to each other. I think not having the extra family members and the extra help is a realistic, hard thing that you're gonna have to go through. And I'm kind of one of those educators that will just say, it's gonna be hard. You're gonna do it. You're gonna totally rock it. It's going to be really hard.
And for us, after two losses, there's also the challenge of allowing yourself to trust the process.
You know, I would reference your losses as rainbow babies. This baby that's coming into the world not only has expectation of filling your heart, but you're going to have to grieve the losses that you've had. And it's very different when you do have a loss previous, because your heart's so protected, because you don't want to be hurt again, but yet you're so excited for this new baby that's coming. And I think having all those emotions and concerns are so valid. So communicate, listen to each other, and be honest. That truly is the best possible thing you can do for each other, for your relationship, and for your baby.
And the truth is, those are fundamentals that can happen with or without a pandemic. So as the days tick by, we treasure each moment of preparation for our new arrival.
We are packing a hospital bag.
From the mundane.
A robe, a nightgown, some socks. I thought, you know, packing for a vacation is a lot more intriguing. But, yeah, packing for this is exciting, too. A little scary.
Kind of a vacation of sorts.
Yeah. To the profound. The humbling task of naming a human being.
Here's the situation. We're each writing down three names from our list, folding up the pieces of paper, mixing them up. We're not drawing randomly. We're going to discuss each one. And then we have a bonus name, a fourth, each one.
I don't know what the bonus name was on here. I just mix it all up.
Yeah. I'm mixing up these names. Would you like to pick the first one for discussion purposes and say it out loud when you pick it?
I can see some of the letters through the light.
Just close your eyes and pick.
And the daunting challenge of parenting.
And the two of you together are going to bind together, and you guys are going to rock this new thing called parenting. And there will be moments you feel overwhelmed and feel like you're doing an awful job, and I promise you aren't. It's called being a good parent, and it can be exhausting and overwhelming and frustrating and wonderful all at once. But that's kind of the joy and the kind of the perfect secret of parenting is that you never really think you're doing an awesome job. And if you do, you will be humbled quite soon after. Life has that way of coming back at you.
But before we knew it, a twist. To address a couple of specific health factors, doctors scheduled a planned induction and let us pick the date.
On the count of three, you say your date.
What? Well, I don't have
three.
I don't have a date.
Two.
I have one or the other.
One. May 15th.
Really?
I don't know.
I was thinking May 15th or May 19th.
Me too.
The answer, May 15th. So now, the countdown is truly on. But still, it's not too early to get to know our little girl.
I've had moments where I've had very joyful moments during pregnancy now, and I feel a great connection to her. And I do feel that I'm going to miss her being inside me. I'm getting emotional.
Okay.
Because she's going to come out soon.
But why does that make you emotional?
It's just that, you know, we're sharing a bond. And I get to feel her move around, even though it's very uncomfortable.
She's doing her karate on you in there?
Yeah. It's a strange feeling to have her move and you be uncomfortable, but it's also very relieving, too, to know that she's healthy and moving and, you know, she's awake when she wants to be and she goes to sleep when she wants to be and she's feeding off of me and I know she's safe in there. But, you know, once you're outside, especially during these times with viruses in the air, and I don't want her to be exposed to, you know, you don't ever want your children to be exposed to harmful things, but sometimes that's, you know, the way life is.
Regardless of COVID-19 and the restrictions, the speculation, the fear of the unknown, all of that aside, for us, the next couple of weeks are bound to be a roller coaster. What happens next is anyone's guess, but Victoria and I are both full of love and surrounded by it. No matter when or how the process of childbirth unfolds, it will be part of our story, and we're ready for it. It might not be a Hollywood ending, but we'll just be grateful for a happy new beginning. Next time on Normalish, Part 2, the moment we've been waiting for, the birth of our first child. We don't know how or when it will happen, but we'll do our best to document it all for the 6th episode of Normalish, as we do everything we possibly can to safely bring new life into this world during the strange and unpredictable times of a global pandemic. I want to thank Michelle Wagner and the folks at Providence Hospital in Anchorage for taking the time to talk with me for this episode. We're grateful for your support and heartfelt advice. I also want to say that Victoria and I are both incredibly touched by all the support from our friends and family. We're still trying to figure out how to properly convey our immense gratitude. Even at these socially distant times, we know you're here with us. Finally, I want to thank Victoria for her courage and her love. You are, quite simply, the strongest person I know, and I can't wait to see you in action as a mom. We debated over and over again the value of sharing this personal story. In the end, if it gives one person who's struggling even just a little bit of peace or hope, then it was worth it. Thanks for listening. Take care, everyone.